I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Officials at Fort Hood are telling CNN they have an active shooter on base.
Was he on any sort of medications?
Yes.
Robert Scott Bell.
Every 19 minutes in this country, someone dies of a prescription drug overdose. I couldn't find one documented case of someone dying of a marijuana overdose.
This ultimately is about death.
Robert Scott Bell. Scott Bell.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
It's shocking.
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Someday soon I'll leave this world of pain and toil and sin. The Lord will take me by the hand to join all of me kin. Me only wish is when the Savior comes for me and you.
He kills the cast of Riverdance and Michael Flatley too.
Everybody's
hey!
So chill and tears are dried. We'll drink and drink and drink and drink and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light. Then we'll throw up, pass up, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again. Then we'll throw up, pass up, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again.
Oi!
Oi! We had to have an
happy
oi there.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
It's a Yiddish holiday right there at the end. Oi!
Oi!
Lift him up by the chair. Oi! And oh man. Welcome everybody. St. Paddy's Day Spectacular on the Robert Scott Bell Show. First of all, Super Don, any Irish blood in you?
No. You know, I somehow miss that. I've got English and Scottish.
Yeah.
And Dutch.
Scotland. All right. We got some Scots.
And Italian. I missed Ireland altogether.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have any Irish roots either. I wonder if that word makes us unqualified to do a St. Paddy's Day show. Maybe we should just pack it in and go home.
You know what? It's funny because a lot of people think they know everything about St. Patrick's Day, right? You wear green, you drink green beer, you do. And you know what? I bet you there's some people out there that would be surprised to find out that maybe they're not as qualified as they think they are.
It's true. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit, because we got our UK health correspondent coming up a little later, Amanda Thomas. I'll ask her about St. Paddy's Day over across the pond and we'll see what's up. But yeah, there are some interesting facts we can open up with today about St. Patrick's Day. Again, I don't know who wrote this. So if you know St. Patrick's Day better than we do, which is likely, you can call us up at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355.
Listen, we only get our information from the most highly prestigious websites out there, such as this one here. It's cheeseburger.com.
Of course. That and Paul Offit, the vaccine prophet, because he just speaks nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Let's see. St. Patrick was the son of a wealthy deacon. Did not know that. At the age of 16, he was captured and taken to Gaelic Ireland, where he spent 6 years as a slave. I guess he was ahead of his time. What was that movie? 12 Years a Slave, right?
12 Years a Slave, yes.
So he only did half of that. St. Patrick claimed God spoke to him during the trial and told him to abscond. How often do you hear that word, abscond?
Abscond, yeah.
That's
once
a great
in a
word. Yeah. Abscond to the coast, or a boat would be waiting for him to take him home. And Patrick, so your son's named Patrick. You have some Irish in you, after all.
I do have a son named Patrick, indeed.
Would you say he's St. Patrick?
He would like to think so sometimes, but I don't think he's quite reached sainthood yet.
Put Dad on the spot there. So he moved back to Ireland to convert the Irish pagans to Christianity. After years of evangelizing, he died on March 17th, which is why we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, evidently. Down Patrick. Interesting. He's born in Down Patrick.
Buried in Down Patrick, and his name is Patrick. Okay.
Is that a coincidence? Now, the shamrock. What do you think about the shamrock? That's interesting. Now, this is not about lucky, but they say the luck of the Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, there's a picture of a woman with two three-leaf clovers. Now, I never knew that the three-leaves were the lucky ones. I always thought the four-leaf ones were. But the three-leaves were a symbol used by St. Patrick to explain the Holy Trinity to the pagans.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
So they couldn't handle a visual aid, right?
So, yeah, this leaf represents the Father. This is the Son. This is the Holy Spirit.
Three. That's come how on. Played it. Do you understand three? See, okay, look at this leaf. Three, see?
No. I'm not here to offend anybody, but you should see the T-shirt because they got two three-leaf clovers on this endowed woman, and I think that was the way they got to them. Must have been. Now, the Feast of St. Patrick, the 17th of March, was made an official Christian feast in the 17th century. That's the 1600s for those of you in Washington, D.C., to commemorate the arrival of Christianity in Ireland. It's a public holiday there, a three-day event known as St. Patrick's Festival. And first celebrated when? St. Patrick's Festival was first celebrated only in 1996? That seems like a recent thing. Do you think they meant 1696?
I was getting pinched for not wearing green when I was in elementary school, so that is not accurate.
You were too, yeah. I think I didn't wear green just so I would get pinched. by the cute girls, hopefully.
Well, did you ever have the guy in class that always would say he'd pick his nose and say, I have green?
I just didn't want to remember that, Super Don. Thank you for that memory.
I put outside.
Yeah. Color green, it's not the color green. It was the color blue that was made the Order of St. Patrick. Who knew that? The Order of St. Patrick, it was green, but no, because it was Ireland. But it's blue is the official color chosen by the Order of St. Patrick. Now, what about drinking on St. Patrick's Day? Drinking. During the Feast of St. Patrick, the Catholic Church allows those observing Lent to forego restrictions of feasting and drinking alcohol, which first associated the holiday with drinking. Now, I think that most people in America, I don't know what the percentage of them are Catholics, but I can bet that those who are not are drinking as much or more as an excuse because it's a party holiday for them. I only wish they were drinking kombucha. You know, instead of, if you're going to drink beer, make it organic, because at the time that St. Patrick was drinking beer, everything was organic. If, in fact, he was drinking beer, I don't know. And, that's about it for our trivia on St. Patrick's Day as we kick in the Robert Scott Bell Show in a very unusual way today.
We will, we'll make mention, I think, of St. Patrick's Day throughout the show because, you know, there's nothing like a good St. Patrick's Day pun. And I've got a few, so I think I might share them throughout.
Few, right.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like,
okay,
I've got a McDonald's joke here.
McDonald's joke.
What do you get when you do the Irish jig at McDonald's?
I have no idea.
A shamrock shake. Get?
Oh, I thought you were going to say a McNugget sandwich or something.
Okay, yes.
Well, the thing is, if you think about McDonald's, it's MC. Isn't that like McDonald, Mc, whatever? Isn't that something related? Kind of the clan of whatever?
Oh.
The clan of the Donald?
You're talking about the Mick.
Yeah,
it is. But, you know, I like to think of Mick from the movie Rocky.
Mick could have been a contender.
Yes.
All right. McDonald's.
Mick Jagger.
This is the weirdest start to the Robert Scott Bell Show. I will just say that right now. But it's okay. It's St. Patrick's Day, and no, I have not been drinking. Kombucha, maybe, but no, I have not been drinking. There are McDonald's stories, interestingly enough. Was there a St. Patrick's Day McNugget massacre at South by Southwest? Anthony Gucciardi is he from Natural Society, right?
He is, actually.
Yeah. He went to the South by Southwest, and there was a concert being given. It was evidently sponsored by McDonald's Chicken McNuggets. And he goes in there, evidently, has permission to film. And then he goes in there when he orders some food. He asks the lady if she eats the food, and she kind of gives a half-hearted meh. And then he asks her, do you know what's in a McNugget? And then all hell broke loose. He got thrown out of the party. No. Yeah. So don't be asking what's in a McNugget if you're in a McDonald's. What do you expect they're going to do?
Yeah, he was instigating a little bit there, but you know what? I can respect that.
Yeah, well, you are an instigator, Super Mario.
I am. I love it.
Let's see. There is another story here, and this one goes to the McCops. The McCops. McCops, not the McRobbers. Although, who is it? There was Mayor McCheese, and there was the Hamburglar.
Right?
And this cop was not there to catch the Hamburglar. Grimace, yeah. This cop was not there to catch the Hamburglar. Somebody caught this guy parking in the McHandicapped spot. I just had to hear that again. there was just no way I could not hear that.
You're awesome.
Listen to this. This cop is parking in the wrong place, and somebody called him out on it.
You realize you parked illegally, right? You parked in a handicapped pass park spot.
You know what you're talking about?
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. You parked in a
This isn't a handicapped spot, okay?
It isn't? It's not? That's not a handicapped parking spot right there?
He shows him. Look on the pavement. It's a handicapped spot.
That's not a handicapped spot. No.
I don't know what that is. That's not a handicapped spot because I'm a cop and I know what that is.
Get your facts straight.
That's not a handicapped parking spot right there?
Get your facts straight. It's not a handicapped spot.
It's not a handicapped spot.
Plus, I'm a mock police unit.
So you get to park wherever you want?
That's right.
So you get to do whatever you want?
I'm an unmarked police unit. So that you get to park wherever you want. You know, this guy has got some, let's say he's got the McNuggets in this one.
Oh,
you're calling out a cop for parking in the McHandicap spot.
He's got big McNuggets. Oh, yeah. I totally respect. There's another instigator. Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Mick instigators today on the edition that we're doing right now. It's Mick, what's the day? It's I don't even know what day it is anymore. We started the show. I must have been drinking today.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
St. McPatrick's Day. Well, let's see if he backs down, because the cop was really intimidating. I'm a cop. Yeah, it's not a handicapped spot.
Are you serious?
You work for the police department?
I work for the Webster Police Department. My name is Officer Javery. Why are you hassling me?
If I was parked in a handicapped parking spot, would I be
What's your name?
I don't have to tell you that.
He's trying to turn it around. What's your name? Like, what am I doing? I'm pointing out. You're not. What about the handicapped person that can't park here? It's not my problem. I'm a cop. Well, that's the bad cop, you know, out there. And I don't know what else to do about that. The only reason we did that story is more or less because there was an MC before it. McDonaldland parking in the wrong spot. A cop. A McCop. Now, I see Cartman right now saying, respect my authority. Because the guy was caught basically dead to McRights, and he's just going, I'm denying this. This is not a handicap spot. Listen, you may be a police officer, but that doesn't give you the ability to change a handicap spot into a not handicap spot. Just park a little further away if you're going to eat the McNuggets. They're not good for you anyway. It'd be good for you to walk a little bit of it off, okay? All right, when we come back, we have a caller. I think it might be about high blood pressure. My blood pressure's not up today. It might be so low I can hardly stand for the entire show. We'll see. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Is he losing?
Live around the world,
the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
I almost got to hear that opening crossfade again just to keep the St. Patty's Day spirit going. I mean, it's like St. Patty's Day. It's like a drinking song. I'm not drinking. Mm-hmm. I promise you I'm not, but I'm just feeling so silly today. That's it. That's why I'm happy now.
I think that has become a permanent part of the show. I think we definitely have to
use that again. Yeah. Super Don, you were saying you threw down the pun challenge. Would you have like a St. Patty's Day pun? Is that what you're saying?
Ready for one? You want one right now?
yeah. Bring us the All luck right. of the Irish so we can avoid another McNugget massacre.
All right. What do ghosts drink on St. Patrick's Day?
What do ghosts drink on St. Patrick's Day? I do not know, sir.
Booze.
Okay, all right. If that's where it's going, we might not do another one of those.
Here's what it is. After every one of these really horrible puns, you need to play.
Yeah. Oh, that sound? Okay. Okay, all
there
right.
There you
we'll
go. All right.
Actually, it looks like I'm saved by the bell.
Ah.
My name is Marilyn, and I'm in California. I had two strokes recently, and I have very high blood pressure that no matter what they put me on does not seem to come down. I'm considering medical marijuana. However, I'm not interested in getting high. I'm wondering if there is such a product that I would still get the benefits of the calming and the lower blood pressure and also not getting high.
Wow. All right. Grandma does not want to get high. Maryland and California. No, she was very clear on that, which is fine. And you don't have to. In fact, if the strokes are induced and two strokes are not better than one, you don't want a second one. If you got the first one, and you haven't listened to the Robert Scott Bell Show, you might get a second one. So now that you're here, you won't get a third one. I would encourage you immediately to ramp up your silicon intake, the silica, which is so critical for vascular integrity and elasticity. That can help be the difference between having a stroke or not, okay? Silica, you can get that from Jonathan at choosetobehealthy.com at 866-424-1077. Okay, Marilyn, dial 866-424-1077. I promise you will not get a silicon high. I promise. Now, in terms of medical marijuana, yes, cannabis. Cannabis sativa, cannabis indica, all of these things. But let's go back to the herbal plant, the hemp plant, the industrial hemp plant. You can take the cannabidiol, which we've talked about for a while, but maybe Maryland doesn't know about it yet. In California, in Florida, in New Jersey even, anywhere around the 50 states, you can utilize the CBD, which can take you out of that anxious place and make it less likely if it was a stress-induced scenario, which they all are to some degree. So the CBD right now we can get, and you can get a number of ways in the health food stores or go directly to hempmedspx.com, hempmedspx.com. And you can take yourself out of that anxiety state. Also, remember hydration, Marilyn. Hydration, chronic low-level dehydration can create inflammation anywhere in the body, including the vascular system, causing the heart to have to work harder, creating more injury and more inflammation within the circulatory system, thus, again, increasing risk of stroke. So if you haven't downloaded the free ebook from robertswater.com, please check that out as well and get that molecular hydrogen working for you. At robertswater.com. Also, salt. Every time you turn around, it's a new story. Salt is bad. Salt is good. I thought we put that one to bed, Super Don. But then again, new innovative drugs may be able to reduce cholesterol. Like, nobody reads the scientific literature in the drug industry and the doctors. They still go, yeah, let's reduce some cholesterol. So I want to make sure Kathleen, I'm sorry, not Kathleen, that was Marilyn. Kathleen's coming up. Marilyn, you're not taking a statin drug. Because that can be just disastrous for your liver. And when your liver's not functioning and detoxing right, all bets are off, including circulatory bets. Now, Super Don, what were you going to... Not another pun, though.
No, I was just saying, I mean, it was a month ago that we were covering the, you know, the story about, you know, salt and the story about cholesterol. And there's still, I mean, there's still stories coming out. We got experimental drugs, you know, the lower cholesterol that doesn't hurt you. And we proved it last month, but we want to make more drugs. There's new recommendations coming out talking about how salt is bad for you, even though a month ago salt was okay for you. It's, yeah, it's silly. It's just dumb.
Yeah. Well, and Marilyn, you need some level of salt. Of course, the minerals, 84, potentially 84, in the cleanest of salts, the ancient crystal salts that are available to you. And that's not just sodium and chloride, which is not a good way to take salt. If it's got all the minerals, it can actually reduce blood pressure with good hydration. All right, we'll be back. A special guest previewing Autism One, Kathleen DiCiaria. DiCiaria? I'm going to ask her how to pronounce her last name. We'll be right back.
Who'd you say that masked man was?
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Robert Scott Bell.
Here I come to save the day.
Loads of people tell me I have
energy to spare. And yeah, a lot of times I do. It's largely because I'm drinking Robert's water from the Echo Ionization and Alkalization System. You've heard me talk to Paul Barrettiero, my good friend here, and he's with me now telling you about these virtues of why everybody should be drinking Robert's water.
Absolutely. Everyone wants more energy. You bring up a good point, Robert. You have good energy, but everybody doesn't have good energy, so they want a little bit of a boost every day. Well, I don't know of an easier way than to drink Echo water every day.
And of course, immune enhancement, detoxification, all of these things enhance energy. And so as simple as putting it right there at your faucet and you can drink it too. Echo Water. Check it out at robertswater.com. The phone number is 800-337-7017, 800-337-7017. Money back guarantee?
Absolutely. Never had to pay out yet, but 60 days.
800-337-7017, 800-337-7017. Free downloadable ebook. The Power to Hydrate is now yours. Go to robertswater.com.
The information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Don't know whether to say aye or arg or oi. It's St. Paddy's Day. And a couple of non-Irish guys on the show here. Robert Scott Bell, Super Don. Matt's on the board. We didn't ask him if he's got any Irish blood in him, but we have been saved. We have been saved. We are rescued because our next guest has some Irish blood. She is Irish, in fact, in some way, shape, or form. Her name Kathleen, and I got the name right. She told me on the break I'm going to try to do it right. Kathleen DiChiaria. No, I probably did it wrong again. Kathleen, welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Thank you for having me. And for all the listeners, my maiden name is Coughlin, so that'll...
There you go. Coughlin.
There you go.
That makes sense. Super Don, you wanted to throw out one more joke. I think I'll give you one more little bit of leeway here.
Listen,
but if you blow
in honor of the fact that we actually have somebody Irish on the show here. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah. Okay.
What's Irish and stays out all night?
I don't know. What is it, Super Don?
Patty O'Furniture.
Yes, just in time. It's getting warm enough to bring out the patio furniture. Thank you, Super Don. I knew I would regret that. Kathleen, let me apologize on behalf of the Robert Scott Bell Show and Super Don. Welcome, my friend. And that's why you're here also, because we're going to get together and have, weirdly enough, a great party, a celebration at the same time. It's a very serious issue, too. And we're going to be together at Autism One in Chicago in May, autismone.org. You're going to be presenting on the first day as well. And you know this subject matter intimately because you've had a family member subjected to this kind of sphere, if you will, of autism.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, thank you for having me on. Yeah,
I'm glad
son,
to have you here.
Who's now 11, had seven different diagnostic labels before he even got the autism label, but that, in essence, described the full set of conditions that his body was faced with, so... Yeah, we're excited to be on the other end of it. In fact, he just formally lost his diagnosis last week, which we were able to document on camera, the meeting with the doctor when she made the announcement to my husband and I. So it's pretty exciting. We had expected that would be the result, but to actually hear them and to see them and to, be delivered that important information was just validated everything we had done. Yeah.
Mm. When you lose an autism diagnosis, it's not something you ever want to find again, but what you are helping people with is how to navigate your way out of that situation. You have a new book. We have it linked up in the show notes called The Hidden Connection. Discover what's keeping you from feeling happy, healthy, and symptom-free. And I'm sure it's a broad-based perspective on many things, not just one thing. But my goodness, if you can even help one family get their kid out of that diagnosis, that would be a miracle for that family.
Right. It's true. And actually, in Stephen's case, we never really sought to recover him. Interestingly, I had been, I had a health crisis myself, and I had used, out of desperation, and because I had such severe complications, I actually was permanently disabled. They said you'd be disabled for life, and my prognosis was so low that I got desperate and went back to study everything I possibly could on nutrition and the body and the immune system. And then I started to apply what I was learning and could see changes and feel changes in myself to Stephen with the intention really just to give him his best life. I mean, we never really sought to correct anything because I didn't fully understand the complexity of what he was struggling with. So we just said, well, what can we do for him? What are the things we can do so that he has his best shot at life? And what ended up happening was something much greater than we could have ever anticipated. So I always like to encourage families to not really always think about the end result, right? Because that can be discouraging. We all know that autism is a very complex disorder and affects children in many, many different ways, which is why there's a spectrum. So if the intention going into it is that you're just going to really do everything you can specifically for your individual child, then no matter what the outcome is, it's you've done it. I mean, you've been successful, right? Because that's
one of the things, Kathleen, that's beautifully said in that we never know the potential of these children or any human to be whatever their potential is for functionality and health and happiness and all of those things until we remove the interference to those things and we give the body what it genuinely needs to function fully. I mean, these things are very basic. They're very simple. Yet the allopathic medical monopoly profession of these doctors that have been deified in our culture, let's face it, many people have looked up to them, thought that they were experts in this realm, in this field, but they have been bringing great harm, and I'm not saying all of them, but a very large percentage of them, based on adopting a method of taking kids that may have been largely healthy and injecting them with toxic poisons in the guise of a vaccine and then seeing this regression or worse. So when you do what you do, and you said you've got some training in functional nutrition, bio-individual nutrition, that's a beautiful thing, and certified in health and nutrition coach. I mean, you're talking about doing biomedical approaches, not bringing poison and drugs into the body, but removing these interferences. That's what I gather in a very rapid sense of what you're all about.
That's right. And because, you know, the triggers for autism vary per individual. Some children, you know, what's going to really perpetuate that problem in the body is going to vary from child to child. So even with a child who isn't necessarily vaccine injured, I'm going to even go back a few steps and tell you that one of the things that we received in the medical community in Stephen's case was actually the stripping of hope. So we were told very early on that he would never speak, that he would never live alone, that he would never get married, that he would never make peer relationships, and that he needed to be medicated because he had such severe panic and social anxiety. And after we left that meeting, my husband and I both said, because this was a very well-respected neurologist in our state, and we both thought to ourselves, does he see something we don't see? Have we become so blinded by love that we really just don't see that this is as bad as it is? And then I got really angry that because I thought he doesn't have a crystal ball. He has no right to project what his future will be like, even if that's what he thinks is going to happen. So once I made that shift internally that he just didn't have the right to take that from us, and as soon as we didn't have that piece of hope, there was no way we could continue on. I think it's so critical that those conversations are not happening, that if somebody, the medical community, doesn't feel that they have the tools to provide resources to that family, that they simply say that as opposed to there is nothing you can do, because that, quite frankly, is a lie, and it just isn't true. There are lots of things available and so many things people can do for themselves, and it really is less about what you add into the body, because people always ask me, whether I'm giving a lecture or a presentation, what was the thing? What did you do, right? What was the magic bullet? They want to know what the magic bullet is. And what we did was we lifted the burden off of his body. We took more things away than we added in. Because quite frankly, I think this whole reductionist mindset that we see in allopathic medicine is happening even in the holistic community, because they're using the same approach using supplements and diet. And that can be very, very risky. I think we have to be very careful about taking that same thinking of ending one cycle in the body, but then creating another problem. So it's, I think, more important to lift the burden off the body and allow the body to correct itself. Yes, you need some specific supplementation. Yes, you need dietary support. But we have to be very, very careful not to overcorrect the body. And I think that's a big mistake that many, many families make with good intentions. And can lead to problems for the children because it can be very confusing.
I love your message. It linked up. We just blasted it out on the social networks as well. We'll get it out on Twitter as well. The Hidden Connection, Discover What's Keeping You from Feeling Happy, Healthy, and Symptom-Free. Kathleen DiChiara, I said it right. I think I said
it
right.
I love it. You do.
Yes, it took me three times, though. But, hey, it is St. Paddy's Day, and I'm not Irish, so you got to give me some, cut me some slack, all right? Listen, this is such an empowering message, and I love the fact that you're going to be also presenting at Autism One with this message, and it is something that needs to be heard because many of these families have lost hope. They, mm-hmm. they've tried so many things, or they've accepted the prognosis of the medical doctors here that said there's nothing you can do. Just drug them for the rest of their lives. And there may be, I don't know, there may be some of these kids that are so damaged beyond comprehension that it's palliative care. But there are many children that can be recovered. And it isn't a matter of putting a 10 million things that are so complex you can't figure it out, but removing the interference, giving the body critically things that it needs, and you can find your pathway out. And it sounds like you've actually done it. And the question to you, Kathleen, is have you helped others to achieve things like this, or is this a kind of a new journey for you with this book?
Well, you know, it's funny. I get a lot of requests, you know, so much that I can't really keep up at this point. So my decision has been to take it a little bit broader. The book was one way of doing that, but also to support practitioners. So practitioners that are interested in working and supporting with these families, helping them to be more successful in their own community so that there are more people like me doing what they're doing. For me to help one-on-one is not that mm-hmm. effective. So if I can get out to larger communities and address them, and certainly shows like yours, Robert, is certainly a way for us to do that and to inspire that. So I do have some other projects in the pipeline and some films and a documentary that was done that we're hoping to inspire other families so they can see some of that transformation and what happened in our own families. So we're excited about that and thinking about ways that I can do that on a broader platform.
Well, this is a healing ministry, quite honestly. We do this 2 hours a day, 6 days a week to bring the power to heal back where it belongs with the people, with these families. And again, it sounds we're aligned in mission. Everybody's got a unique way to go about it. There's not only one way. That's why I love sharing these voices and yours as well. And many of those who are attending and many of those who are speaking at Autism One later in May, and we've got those linked up as well in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. I forget which day I'll be speaking on, but I'll be broadcasting live from the event, and I'm just looking forward to it. Those of you who used to go to the Health Freedom Expos, particularly in the Midwest, there's always one in June, around May, June, in Chicagoland area, you would be greatly benefited, even if you have no child within the autism spectrum diagnosis, because so much of the information is similar to what was presented. So many different tracks, so many different families coming together, people that really are helping to lift one another up in very tough circumstances. So for me, it's become a very important annual tradition here to be part of Autism One.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be there and to meet with the other mothers and support families in the recovery lounge. I know this is a new journey for some people, or they're maybe further along in their healing opportunity. But I think for myself, I mean, I did this, with Stephen. He's 11.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I didn't have access to what a lot of families have today. So we're really at a new time now when families can get access to other families who've had this experience, and that is extremely powerful.
Well, and you're paying it forward. Bless you. Bless you, Kathleen. DiChiara. I think I said it right. Maybe.
You got it.
I appreciate you so much. I give you a big hug when I see you at Autism One. The Hidden Connection. Discover what's keeping you from feeling happy, healthy, and symptom-free.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works, and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
I know you've heard about it. CBD is making headlines here in 2015 as well. And you can get CBD from hemp this very day. That's right. CBD from hemp is available in all 50 states and over 40 countries right now. Hemp is considered a superfood by millions worldwide. But there's another reason to love hemp. CBD or cannabidiol is a natural part of the hemp plant, and it's making those headlines and finding its way into households across the country. Hemp Meds is the world's trusted CBD hemp oil source. Hemp Meds' commitment to quality starts with non-GMO industrial hemp cultivars grown on family farms using no pesticides, herbicides, or toxic fertilizers. Only with Hemp Meds are you guaranteed consistent quality of natural CBD from hemp, grown as nature intended. Hemp Meds sees total body care as a necessity, not a luxury. And that's why they offer CBD hemp oil in a variety of natural premium products for their customers nationwide. From natural hair and skin care to functional foods that thousands of families use every single day, including me, RSB. The only question I have for you is, have you had your CBD today?
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
All right. I guess a green story for St. Paddy's Day. Not a happy green story, I'll say that. Coming out of Roanoke, Virginia. At least Roanoke.com, the Roanoke Times covers this. This sixth grader, all right? Let's see. My son now is equivalent of ninth. My daughter is fourth. So right in there, 11-year-old boy. He goes to school. He's like in the gifted program, right? He's an 11-year-old boy. He's going to be cute, right, and do something stupid. Right. What 11-year-old boy doesn't do something stupid? Heck, what 49-year-old boy doesn't do something stupid occasionally, right? It's just boys, right? This kid, 11 years old at Bedford Middle School, was suspended for basically a year, 364 days, after being caught with a substance that tested negative for what? We're going to get to that. The kid goes in. All right, listen, I'm not going to say he wasn't a little too stupid for being smart by doing this. He goes to school with a lighter, and he's got a leaf, okay? And he probably wants to show off, say, hey, let's go, I don't know, let's go smoke a leaf, right? Joking about it. Right. Brings in the leaf, then somehow gets turned in. They immediately think, oh, man, the kid, the 11-year-old kid's got marijuana. He's got pot in here. Suspend him. Arrest him. Get him into juvenile, the system. And it's an absolute disaster. This shows you how insane these public school systems are. The automatic expulsion, the zero tolerance. Zero tolerance means zero brains. You don't get to think. You don't have to think about anything. Months after the fact, I mean, this kid is in so much trouble. Only months later, the mom and dad learned that the leaf wasn't marijuana. And the prosecutor then dropped the juvenile court charge because the leaf had already field tested negative three times for being cannabis. It wasn't cannabis.
What was it? It's a leafy green substance.
Right. Yeah. You bring in kale now and they'll arrest you. This is the insanity of zero tolerance. What was it? Well, my friends, blame Canada. It was a maple leaf.
Oh.
A maple leaf. Yeah. Did they teach the cops in Roanoke, Virginia anything? When you look at a leaf, a cannabis leaf and a maple leaf, tell me that you can't tell the difference between the two. If you want to slap the 11-year-old for being stupid, fine. You want to have suspended for a year, juvenile record for what? Bringing a leaf. A maple leaf. Yeah. Now they're going to tell you that maple syrup is a psychoactive sweetener.
Well, I gotta tell you. I gotta tell you, at least the knucklehead cops that mistook okra for marijuana, at least the leaf was similar. A maple leaf?
Yeah, it looked a little closer. A maple leaf is like, you want to talk about a fatty? And I don't mean a rolled up joint. I mean a fat leaf. I mean, it's so fat compared. There's no narrow, slender kind of things going on in a maple leaf. And yet somehow they went, oops, months later. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
what can you say? But yeah, so here's my question. This kid missed a year of school. How does he make that up? Sixth grade. I mean, that's an important grade.
No, I know. Look, this kid is suffering with anxiety. They probably put him on some other psychoactive drug approved by the FDA through the child psychologist or psychiatrist.
Yeah.
You know, all because he made it a stupid prank at 11 years old. Okay. All right. I need some CBD at this point.
Yeah. Right? We need a funnier story.
Okra.
In honor of St. Patrick's Day, we need to have something that will have us doubling over in laughter, you know?
Do you have one for me? Do you have something for me?
I just did. Doubling over with laughter. Doubling.
It didn't work.
Oh, man. Okay. It's Dublin.
Nice
try,
Super Don. I know it's Dublin. Listen, I'm excited about next hour already. Here I am living in the future. We've got a never-ending story coming up. We also have a licensing issue with marriage. Has Oklahoma been listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show? Did they finally figure it out? Also, let's go to Great Britain. Find out what they're doing there for St. Paddy's Day. We're going to talk with our UK health correspondent, Amanda Thomas, from UK Health Radio. And finally, what's wrong with Jimmy Kimmel's tallywhacker? There's something there. I don't know. Yeah, I know. Get the magnifying glass. We'll be back. The power to heal is still yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Usually the older one gets, the less you are able to absorb amino acids and the less you are able to repair the 100 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easier to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
We're all about the fight against breast cancer.
Let's get the party started. Pink!
Pink handguns, pink toilet paper,
pink fracking.
Robert Scott Bell.
Ebola in America.
A deadly and contagious virus.
Ebola may spread throughout the USA.
If you've been paying attention to the news lately, you might have heard we're all going to die.
Game over. Man, it's game over.
Robert Scott Bell.
I can't find any real legitimate doctor that thinks smoking marijuana is good for anybody. Sure, it may relieve pain temporarily, but a fifth of Jack Daniels might do the same thing, and nobody's calling that medicine, right?
Right.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Nothing outlasts the Pfizer. They keep going and going and going and going.
Oh boy, do we have a never-ending pharmaceutical fantasy story served up, delivered on St. Paddy's Day by the FDA to the pharmaceutical industrial complex. But before we get there, we have some breaking news. All right, another medical kidnap case. This one may be solved. We may have a reuniting of a family. Super Don, what's this going on that's just breaking now?
Yeah, you know, I just saw this, and I haven't had a chance to talk with the parents yet, but apparently Wes Schnorf and Heather Briggs, their son Zephyr, had been taken by Texas Children's Hospital, and this was just a few months ago. And they've been fighting hard, and apparently, I mean, the only information I have at this point is all in caps letters. I've got the message, we won, get our baby back tonight, praise the Lord, we won. So, Zephyr is going back home.
Woo! All right, that's a party to celebrate right there. Now, if I remember correctly, this family had the wherewithal to actually hire a private attorney and fight on a more equal playing field, if you will. Not that they're ever level in this sense, but they weren't a poor family that couldn't defend themselves, if my memory serves correct in the interview, because I think we interviewed them, again, you said, a couple of months back.
Well, you know, the thing is this is one of the cases where I remember when this first started, and it wasn't terribly long ago. I mean, this is great news for them to have this result as quickly as they did. Not that it probably seemed very quick for them, but yeah, I mean, they figured out what was going on, and they figured out where they were being taken advantage of, and they called them on their stuff. They CPS and the court really tripped up, made some mistakes, and they, you know, took advantage of that situation. And like I said, I don't have all the details, but I'll tell you what, the most important detail is that Zephyr is going home, and this is ending for them. And I can't tell you how happy I am about this.
Let this be a parade of victories. Let's bring Isaiah home. Team Isaiah. You know, all the families we've covered, and many of them that we haven't been able to. There's just too many of them to do. So I don't want that to be a never-ending story. And it sounds like good news for Zephyr and the family reuniting. So great. We'll have more details on it, I'm sure, tomorrow and the coming days, weeks, and months as we follow it. Now, as we go to Oklahoma, how many times over the years... Actually, no, I don't want to go to that story yet. I'm a bit ahead of myself today because that bit of good news has got me, you know, wanting to do another funny story as opposed to one that is kind of a bummer of a story. But we got to go here.
So.
The FDA Law Blog, the FDALawBlog.net, they have a story here called The Everlasting Patent. And immediately I thought of the everlasting gobstopper. And in fact, in the body of this article, they say that. You see, nothing lasts forever in our mortal world, though some things try to come close. Wonka's everlasting gobstoppers. The never-ending story, which was the theme we opened with this hour. Doctor Who, for our British friends. And the Energizer Bunny, who you actually placed in there so nicely when you said it was Enter Pfizer. Because this is a gift to Pfizer and other big pharmaceutical companies. They're adding to this list the everlasting patent. And if you don't know what that is, normally a patent, when you get it, it's for 20 years. So let's say you come up with a new drug molecule, like a statin drug, and they say, okay, now that you brought it to market, it's there, you've got 20 years, whatever minus whatever amount from the time of the patent, but about 20 years, that you'll have exclusivity on it, you'll get the profit, make back all your money, and then 100,000-fold if you're in big pharma because you've got a monopoly here in America. But that's not good enough. Because guess what? All the blockbuster patent drugs are in... Well, in expiry. They're literally coming close to expiration. And so those Mongo markups are going to be gone because now generics can enter and compete. And now you've got some of these medicines are practically free relative. I mean, literally. They've got older antibiotics. You can go to the Walmarts and the Publixes. That, you know, they'll offer them for free. So there's not a lot of profit in that. How is Big Pharma, you know, struggling with this? Well, one of the ways, of course, is they've got the mandates on vaccination. And they're continuing to try and strengthen it. And by the way, that's another breaking news story because out of New Jersey, it passed out of committee. Now it's going to be going to both houses to be voted on soon. So you guys and gals in Jersey, you've still got your work cut out for you. The state where medical tyranny rears its ugly head. I mean, it's the home to many of the pharmaceutical companies in America. A lot of the big vaccine makers have headquarters there in New Jersey. And it looks like they are pressing full court press. I don't want to have to rely on a Chris Christie veto, do you? That doesn't sound good. So you guys and gals, you got your work cut out for you, but we support you here. If not, get out. Get out of the Garden State because the only thing they're growing there is syringes filled with mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, aborted fetal tissue. It doesn't sound like such a nice place to live if that's going to be the main bumper crop.
Yeah, that's a scary-looking tree, I got to tell you.
Yeah, that's a very scary looking tree. Bit worse than some of the sci-fi movies, B movies I saw as a kid. Now, a patent term normally 20 years, but that's not good enough because they're running out of patent. And I think they secretly know they're going to lose this vaccine debate, even though they're pretending that they're not going to lose it. They're going to lose it because the more they push back on those who love liberty still in America, who can see through the medical tyranny, the more people are going to join us in our efforts that maybe even be pro-vaccine, but they're going to be as equally so or more so pro-freedom, the freedom to choose, the freedom to not have your child forced to be medicated in any way, shape, or form against your will, the will of mom and dad. So here, they're going for it. They're going for it big time. 20 years minus any extensions. Occasionally, they'll get an extension under Title II of the Hatch-Waxman Amendments, provision buried in this nearly 400-page discussion draft of what's called the 21st Century Cures Act that was released earlier this year. All right, and they have a link to it in the show notes. We have a link to the article. Click on it, and you'll see where it goes. And basically, this provision would allow for perpetual renewal of patents. They would basically it'd be equivalent of a forever patent. Even though things come and go on planet Earth, they live, they die, but patents for Big Pharma, thanks to Henry Waxman, who's never met a pharmaceutical drug he didn't like. Sounded like a Dick Durbin. But what's weird about this Super Don is Hatch. Remember Hatch and Harkin? They did a lot of stuff for dietary supplement industry.
Yeah.
If he did this, did he know what he was writing? I mean, if it's nearly 400 pages, is this another one of those cases where we got to pass the bill to see what's in it?
You know, that's a lot of pages. And, you know, I want to give Orrin Hatch the benefit of the doubt because he's been a friend to the industry. I can't imagine he would do this knowing that that is the loophole that he basically created. So, I don't know, it'd be interesting to get a statement from him.
Yeah, it would be. In this, it says, the director shall, within the three-month period beginning on the date of the submission, in other words, if you request an extension of your patent, it may extend the patent to expire at the end of the protection period for the dormant therapy if the patent would otherwise expire before the end of the protection period. These legalese, it's hard to really understand, but I mean, what they're saying here is that the patent will never expire. I mean, this is actually a stunning bit of whoever slipped that in there. The FDA is given a major league gift to the pharmaceutical complex that, again, is in big trouble. And, I mean, they're in big trouble today, right now, but they know what's coming down the pipeline, and it's no longer the blockbuster drugs for diseases that they actually create. Unless, of course, the mandated vaccine schedule keeps expanding and the exemptions keep getting eliminated and they force even adults to adopt these vaccines under the childhood schedule, if you will, by CDC, which will mean that they're totally exempt, the vaccine manufacturers, from any liability. And what will happen there is that you'll have such a chronically sick culture that diseases we don't even know about yet are going to be making appearances. Diseases that we do already know about will be making more appearances, and their severity will likely ramp up even further. So on all levels, this FDA gift of a never-ending patent to the drug manufacturers is a disaster for the health of Americans. But then we can always count on our politicians, whether it be Barack Obama or whether it be a Republican that replaces Barack Obama. The jury's still out on Rand Paul if he would do it differently. I have a sense that he would, but I know there's some conflicts with what he's doing. But whenever somebody gets in next, are they going to recognize that we've been living under monopoly medicine for over 100 years and roll back the monopoly and open the floodgates to freedom again? Freedom to healing, freedom to all healing, all healers? Or will it be continually the corporations with no allegiance to any nation or state, least of all these United States, getting special access, special privileges, and special status to have synthetic patented molecules that are dangerous and deadly be excused from their injuries, minimally held liable in the case of certain drugs, but fractionally fined when they're caught wrongdoing, and having no liability when they kill a child with a vaccine? Is that going to continue as Obama is priding himself, patting himself on the back for having more Americans insured in a shorter period of time than ever before? Because as Super Don pointed out yesterday as well, they'll be fined if they don't. Like Kim Jong-un saying, You watch a South Korean movie, you're going to a labor camp. And guess what he gets to tout? Hey, look, fewer people than ever in North Korea are watching South Korean films. I'm so happy. Look what I've done, right? All right, well, we've got lots more to do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Coming up next, Oklahoma, where they want to stop licensing marriage. Is it good, bad, or ugly?
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
I know you've heard about it. CBD is making headlines here in 2015 as well. And you can get CBD from hemp this very day. That's right. CBD from hemp is available in all 50 states and over 40 countries right now. Hemp is considered a superfood by millions worldwide. But there's another reason to love hemp. CBD or cannabidiol is a natural part of the hemp plant. And it's making those headlines and finding its way into households across the country. Hemp Meds is the world's trusted CBD hemp oil source. Hemp Meds' commitment to quality starts with non-GMO and industrial hemp cultivars grown on family farms using no pesticides, herbicides, or toxic fertilizers. Only with Hemp Meds are you guaranteed consistent quality of natural CBD from hemp, grown as nature intended. Hemp Meds sees total body care as a necessity, not a luxury. And that's why they offer CBD hemp oil in a variety of natural premium products for their customers nationwide. From natural hair and skin care to functional foods that thousands of families use every single day, including me, RSV. The only question I have for you is, have you had your CBD today?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
And when we say IFIOA, we're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.
I dare say, Super Don, no one has ever cross-faded from Ozzy Osbourne to Oklahoma.
I
don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, heard it first here, yes.
Radio stations are busting and bursting either with laughter or explosions. They don't know what to make of it. But, hey, welcome back, my friends. We're on the Robert Scott Bell Show, St. Paddy's Day edition. And we do have a story out of Oklahoma. That's why we played that theme. And it relates to marriage. Marriage! Now, of course, the controversy over gay marriage has some people up in arms and other people cheering. Yay, gay people can finally get married. Or boo, they can finally get married. Or yay, they're not getting married in my state. And it's interesting, the motivation of the Oklahomans, I don't know if it was pure and good and well and fine. But the end result here, rather interesting. They've been listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show? I don't know. But how long have I been saying separation of marriage and state? Please. Can you just get the state out of marriage? Get it the hell out of marriage, because it brings hell into marriage. Unless you think the state is a godly creation on order of anything of the most high and holy. And I don't take that perspective. I don't want the government in my marriage. Therefore, I filed a marriage covenant. We wrote our own. And we filed it in miscellaneous documents just to declare it in case anybody tried to challenge it. But I didn't ask permission. They said, oh, you have to get a license. The hell I do? I'm not asking for permission where none is required. I'm not inviting you to this party. And so the Oklahomans finally figured it out. And they said, let's get out of the marriage business. And there's a bill that would basically take the marriage license business out of the state and give it to the churches, to the religious institutions. House Bill 1125 would effectively ban all secular marriage in the state, passed by a Republican majority, and will now go to the state Senate for consideration. Now, I'm thinking they're probably thinking that they've outsmarted gay people. Why gay people wanted to be married like heterosexual people, I'm not sure. But that's up to you guys and gals, or guys and guys, whatever. I don't care. Not my business. But they're right about something. Marriage was not instituted by government. It was instituted, you know, it was a religious kind of thing. It has to do with property. There's a lot of history there that may be uncomfortable for some to discuss. But the marriage license was introduced, I believe, after the Civil War. If a white person wanted to marry a black person, they didn't want that happening. So they made sure that you were going to ask permission of the state. And they would say, maybe, maybe not. Permission granted, permission denied. And somehow it evolved into everybody has to ask permission of the state to get married. And I think that's wrong. Now, what's ironic about this, Bill, is that evidently it will now ban atheists from getting married because there will be no secular marriage. But you atheists are stupid if you can't file your own documents, file your own covenant to get married in a secular fashion and just put it into miscellaneous documents, declare it under common law. And if they declare common law to be dead, then they have no authority anyway. It's a whole other story.
Well, there
and then you got dunder. Then you got dunderheads in Texas. All right. Story out of Texas. Texas lawmakers patting themselves on the back. Here are the Republicans. You know, some people say you're too hard on liberals, Robert. Well, how about on the so-called pseudo-conservative Republicans in Texas? They're partying down because they're celebrating 10 years of a gay marriage ban. And what do they do?
Oh, boy.
What do they do?
Super. But how did they celebrate this? They're all afraid of gay people. So they all get together, and all these guys are standing at this table. And if you look at the picture, they're all basically holding hands and getting ready to cut a pink cake.
A beautiful pink cake. And it was probably baked by a gay man.
Oh, no.
If we eat it, are we going to turn gay? Separation of marriage and state. I want you, you know, do it with your clergy. Not like that. I mean, you know, you make up your own mind. Come together. You two adults, write out your own. This is what we believe. And you know, be honest about what you expect about it. I mean, I think we're all adults here, are we not? All right, well, except for the kids that are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. You can talk to your mom and dad about what RSB and Super Don just talked about here. I don't think you should have to ask permission in the state to get married. Of course, then they get into privileges and tax write-offs and all, you know. Again, you want to subjugate yourself to that? Be my guest. Not going to go there. All right, we're going to England, the old country, UK. Our health correspondent, Amanda Thomas, is next.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed the results I have with your product. I've suffered with bouts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past few years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up a 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, bridging the cultural divide today on St. Paddy's Day, all the way from the United Kingdom. Amanda Thomas, our UK health correspondent. Welcome back, Amanda.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here again.
Now, is everybody drinking green Guinness today, or what goes on over in the UK on St. Paddy's Day?
It's not so much in England, but in Ireland, there will be big, big celebrations. And in fact, a couple of my Irish clients are in radio silence today because they're celebrating.
That's just serious for them.
It is.
Is there a lot of bad blood between England and Ireland over independence, like you know, the controversy we talked briefly about, UK versus Argentina stuff? Not that intense, is it?
No, not anymore. Obviously, there were problems during the time that there were what are called the Troubles.
Yeah.
But that's largely a thing of the past. And we're a kind of happy-go-lucky bunch around here. We kind of like to forgive and forget and move on, really.
Oh, good. Because, you know, I'm friends with the British Special Forces guy who moved to our area, and he does a lot of firearms training. And he still talks about the Troubles as if it were yesterday. So he was in the intense fights and things.
I dare say that if, you know, it depends on what your experience of it was. I mean, I was in a town in which a record store was bombed right. by the IRA, but that was the closest. I mean, obviously, and you heard about the atrocities.
Sure.
But going back to St. Paddy's Day, I actually ended up in New York one year by mistake on Paddy's Day. And those are people who know how to celebrate.
Wait a second. Was the pilot drinking? How did you end up in New York by accident?
I mean, I was in New York on purpose, but it just happened to be on St. Paddy's
Day. I understand. I'm thinking, yeah, a little green beer in the cockpit and we ended up in the wrong city.
No, but it was just incredible. I mean, those people really know how to celebrate.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. In Savannah, Georgia, that's a big area as well. A lot of Irish celebrations there. And, you know, I'm not much of a drinker, but I do appreciate beer. I've just had to switch to non-alcoholic variety since my drinking days ended at the age of 19. Again, appreciate a good celebration. So speaking of celebration and bridging the cultural divide, since I'm getting ready to visit you guys and gals over there in on the island.
We're counting the hours.
Yay! So I'm looking forward to it, obviously. In the loo, what they call, not the loo, that's the bathroom, but there's the Waterloo station. I'm thinking, did they name the Waterloo City after a toilet? What is that, Waterloo?
I don't know. Well, I think they named it after a battle, actually, the Battle of Waterloo.
Well, no, but the Waterloo had to be named for a loo, no?
No, I don't think so, because I think the loo came after the battle.
Okay, all right.
Perhaps
well,
during the battle, depending how frightened you were.
All right, well, thank you for clearing that up. Some things I appreciate and I can get about the Brits and the humor there. Other things I'm going, well, I need to understand that, so I'll ask Amanda Thomas. Now, here's something Super Don sent me, and it's an image. And I've been on the tube station in the tube and on the trains in London over the years when I was younger, traveled over, visited with family, which I'm excited to do again. And the headline here reads, and this is off of a site called cheeseburger.com, only the Brits could be this humorous and this sad at the same time. Now, I'm wondering what this was referencing, and you have an image of it, too. And it was in the Waterloo station. It said, this station is busiest between 8:15 and 9:15. During busy times, you may wonder why you choose to spend so long on crowded tube platforms instead of being with the ones you love. Okay. And then it says, forget about them and get to work. Is that like a dry British humor thing to kind of make the time pass a little easier?
Well, I think it's supposed to kind of raise a wry smile. But, I've got to say that even for me, that fell a bit flat.
Okay.
Because, I don't know. I think the punchline needs working on.
Well, do they still have the announcements in the tube stations that say mind the gap?
Oh, yeah. If there is a gap to mind, you'll be announced about it.
It will. Okay. Because that's something I think if you're an American and you've never gone to Great Britain, been on the tube stations and gone on the trains, mind the gap. You'll say, what are they doing? What are they saying? Mind the gap. And it's like, don't step in the crack. You know,
that's right. Don't disappear underneath the train.
Yes, exactly. So it's just another, but a very polite way of saying it, I think.
And also quite good for a certain clothing store.
Is it? Their place called The Gap? Does it help them?
There is. In the UK, it's a big high street store called The Gap.
Yeah, they have it here in America too, but I just didn't know that they were talking about that gap.
They're not, but you know, it doesn't hurt them to have their name mentioned
all the time.
On the stations.
I was thinking if they had an advertisement, see, notice how I said advertisement, not advertisement, a sign on The Gap clothing store that would say, mind the gap, come in and buy something.
Yeah, no, do you know, we've missed our calling here. We should have been an advertisement.
I know. We could be making a fortune. Instead, we're trying to help people heal for free, basically. So UK Health Radio, you do some things there, of course. And if you haven't heard Amanda yet on our updates, if you will, from Great Britain, I certainly enjoy having you on board. And my wife says, I love that Amanda. She's terrific. She stands up to you, Robert. So thank you, man. Thank you. Now, let's talk about standing up. Because
yes.
The police in Britain evidently are using their stop and search powers on toddlers. Now, we've covered stories about terrorism investigations into daycare centers. And we're thinking it may be getting a little ludicrous when they're starting to go after people in their diapers as to how this goes. But is that what is happening in this Telegraph story?
Well, what it is, and the first time that I ever heard of anything like this, is with people using babies in strollers and in prams to hide things that they've stolen from shops, shoplifters and things like that. But then taking that premise forward, you could hide anything on a baby, hoping that with the care that everybody's taking around children these days, that they would be above frisking suspicion, but apparently not. Because in Manchester in particular, they seem to be very hot on frisking toddlers.
This is troubling to me, because you've got a lot of people that you just don't know if they're really, let's say, above board in this. I mean, granted, if there's something called probable cause, you know, the police here in America have the ability to say, you know, a search based on probable cause. But you can also deny them the ability to do so. But a toddler, I mean, how's a toddler say, no, I object to this unlawful search of my body as a toddler? They can't do that. So I'm finding that this may be crossing a line somewhere.
Well, I imagine, I mean, it does seem sort of like a hiding to nowhere, because the parents are obviously going to say, on behalf of my toddler, I absolutely do not give you the right to search them or frisk them, because the likelihood is that it's them who have planted anything, if anything has been planted.
Mm-hmm.
But I think these search powers are actually able to override that and say, no, we really suspect that you have secreted something around your toddler, and we are going to look for it, whether you like it or not.
Did you say secreted or secreted? I just want to understand this.
Well, secreted, which maybe you would say it differently.
Yeah, because that would mean something's oozing out of your pores, and it's kind of gross.
Yeah, it means that as well. Means that as well here. Yes.
Ah, okay. So
secretion is something oozing.
I was thinking, if you secret something, you hide something. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah, that's right. That is what it is. But the word, unfortunately, is the same. So I could say secreted from an open sore, or secreted about your toddler's person.
Oh, lovely. I've just lost my appetite. Thank you, Amanda. All right. The Manchester police in this case, as you said, there's a rough and tumble there. My collegiate swim coach at university was from Manchester. He never talked about the rough upbringing I guess he must have had.
Well, he may have had. I mean, there are some very nice parts of Manchester, but there are also some of the most difficult policing areas in the country in Manchester. And in this case, these Manchester police were the force that were recorded as doing the most searching of toddlers, at 45 of them.
Hmm. Wow, yeah. And it's here, I quote from this article, the Metropolitan Police, Britain's largest force, confirmed it had used stop and search on 182 toddlers. And then it says it included at least two searches where officers cited reasonable suspicion. Now, that's troubling to me, because anytime you see the government or a headline that says at least two, it means two. You know?
Yeah.
So 180 were not with reasonable suspicion, or is what we would call probable cause. Are there any civil libertarians up in arms over the secreting, or let's say the checking out the secreting of these infants or toddlers?
Well, no, I'm with you on that. To me, that sounds very odd, because you would imagine that every single one of those searches should have been born of a reasonable suspicion.
Right.
I mean, you can't just go up to a toddler playing, minding its own business in a play park and say, right, come with me, sonny, you're being searched.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know who they should be searching are the doctors with their prescription pads, writing out scripts for these toddlers unnecessarily. Now, that leads us to our final story, and the time goes so quickly with you, Amanda, I must say. I enjoy it. Pharmacists should help ease GP pressure. GP meaning general practitioner, I assume.
Yes.
So there are not enough doctors to go around there saying, hey, the pharmacists are out there, they should be helping out. Is this controversial?
I think some people are trying to make it controversial, but in fact, pharmacists have taken a greater role in recent years than they ever have done before. There's something in this country which has proved very useful, called medication check, where a pharmacist will go through all your medications and say to you, well, in my father's case, before he died, he had an operation, and he was on a medication 2 years later that should just have covered the post-operative period. Now, to me, I always think, well, how come the doctor didn't pick that up when he was writing the re-prescription? Why didn't he think, hang on a minute, why is he having that? He hasn't just had an operation. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need it. But for some reason, whether it's speed or whether they're just pressing a button when a patient asks for a re-prescription, provided there's no necessity for a check, health check of any sort, perhaps they just press a button and it's issued. Whereas a pharmacist will look at everything on that
right.
list, and they, of course, know much, much more about it.
Amanda, I actually like this proposal because, as you said, and I agree, the pharmacists know much more about medications and the doctors who prescribe them. And how often do these patients end up, particularly elderly ones, 10, 15, or 20 prescriptions,
yes.
and none of them have been tested with one another? To have a pharmacist analyze that, I think, is a terrific idea.
It is, and that idea has now been extended to pharmacists seeing patients actually in surgeries in place of the doctor. So somebody who might have gone to see a doctor for a rash, let's say,
yeah.
would be channeled in to see the pharmacist, who would then say, okay, well, I can see from your notes previously seeing the doctor that you've had eczema, this has flared up again, this is what I suggest.
Sure.
And he's very well placed to make that suggestion.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thank you for the UK Health Radio update as well. We're heard on UK Health Radio as well as GCN, our syndicator, and National News Radio, and many other places around the country. We'll be together, what is it, the 28th and 29th of March?
Yep, it's not long now. It's the weekend after next.
Yeah, check the links. The show notes are there, and we're going to get you more information as well. I'll be there with Jonathan Wright, Dr. Wright, and the Alliance for Natural Health. Amanda Thomas, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, back to wrap it up after this.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I've created a non-electric self-watering food production system that grows nutritious food with almost no effort and at very little cost. It's called the Food Rising Mini Farm Grow Box, and the best part is I show you how to make your own in do-it-yourself videos on the new website foodrising.org. There, you'll also find freely downloadable 3D object files that you can use to print the key components of the system on your own 3D printer. It's all part of the open source revolution, where we freely share good ideas that empower people to be more self-reliant and practical in a world that's increasingly unpredictable. This Food Rising Grow system will produce food for you even if the power grid fails, because it has no pumps and no complex moving parts. Join the Food Rising Revolution now at www.foodrising.org.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Making sense out of medical propaganda, here's Robert.
Take a look at this radar. What is it, son? I don't know, sir. But it looks like a giant
wiener? Any of you kids want another wiener?
Giant? What's that?
I don't know, son, but it's got great big
nuts! Hot, salty nuts! Who wants some, Lord Almighty?
That looks just like my husband's.
Private! We have reports of an unidentified flying object! Complete with two balls!
What is that? That looks just like an enormous wing. Pay attention.
I was distracted by that enormous flying...
Really? Yeah. What's that?
Well, it looks like a giant...
Johnson. Yes, sir. Get on the horn to British intelligence and let them know about this.
Oh, man, are we in trouble now. That was from Austin Powers. And
classic.
Classic. Relates to the final story of the evening. Maybe a couple of them of this St. Paddy's Day. We have to find a little bit of humor in the midst of things. Have we been too hard on Jimmy Kimmel since he came out against the, you know, the vaccine issue, right? Yelling at all the parents who don't want to.
Listen, Jimmy Kimmel's a big boy. He can handle it. He put himself out there. And yeah, he put him. Listen, I mean, we pointed it out. That's all we did.
Maybe now we've got an explanation as to why he's so bitter. You know, in the midst of him telling jokes, him, you know, taking really rude and uncalled for attacks on the parents of vaccine injured or even killed children. Jimmy Kimmel at the South by Southwest conference in Austin, Texas, revealed something quite astonishing about his urethra. Now, do I need to give an anatomy lesson here? Does everybody know about a urethra, what that is? That's the last tube on out of the body from your kidneys through your bladder on out through your, well, yeah. Go ahead, Super Don. You know what it's called.
Well, let's just leave it at this. If you've ever had to have a catheter, you know where your urethra is.
Yes, they put. But evidently, I don't know why he said this. What is it about that? Was he feeling bad about what he did, you know, by throwing the kids under the bus, so to speak? He said he had revealed he had two surgeries on his penis to correct an unexpected medical issue with his urethra. He did not say the formal diagnosis. He just said the urethra, basically the external evacuation hole, closed up on its own, he says. He didn't know why. And he had to have two operations, and it couldn't have been pleasant. It couldn't have been pleasant.
Yeah, no. You know, that's a good question. Why did he feel it necessary to have to release this information to the public?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know why he decided to do that. Did he think he was being funny, or did he think he would gain some sympathy? Because, oh my gosh, he suffered. Now, he did say it happened a long time ago, but didn't say when, how long ago it happened. But, you know, he caused a lot of pain in those families that he attacked, you know, putting these doctors up to it to attack them for not vaccinating, despite the fact that they were injured by it. And then we see this story listed on the social networks, and our friend Roseanne, I saw this joke she put out there. I'm not getting her in trouble because she put it out on the social network. And she said, Super Don, what did the left testicle say to the right testicle?
I don't know. What did they say?
Don't talk to that guy in the middle. He's a real wiener.
I'm waiting for it.
What? No, that's not. That was a punchline right there somewhere. I think you're going to get one of these.
Oh, man. Yes.
I know what you really wanted. All right. Oh, that was the punchline.
You can't get enough of that today.
Of course, in real life, she didn't say wiener. And when I told the joke in front of my wife and my son, of course, he giggled like the 15-year-old he is. I'm just afraid he's going to say, you can't believe what my dad told me last night. So anyway, thank you, Roseanne, for bringing up that old joke. And we got to tell it on the air.
Is just getting excrementally worse as we go on.
Well, it is St. Paddy's Day. People have been drinking. They're not going to remember a thing. Not even the Oklahomophobia that we covered last.
Oklahomophobia, yes.
Yeah, exactly. One last thing. The things you can get arrested for. And I think Jimmy Kimmel knows this one very well. This is a headline. I don't know if this was a British newspaper, if it was out of L.A. or maybe Australia down under. Listen to this headline. Man arrested after cops spot suspiciously small package in his undies.
Ah.
Maybe that's why Jimmy had the surgery.
That must be. Secretly, hey, Robert.
Make it. Yes.
What? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Irish.
Irish who?
I wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I've had a happy St. Patrick's Day, Super Don. Thanks for asking. And Amanda Thomas, thank you. Thank you to Kathleen, to Kiara. We had a great show tonight. You guys, don't drink a lot of alcohol. Drink some kombucha and remind each other what I'm reminding you. The power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey, Doc, I was wondering, if you could only take one supplement for the rest of your life, what would it be?
That's easy. Beta-glucan.
Well, I'm looking for a daily pill that can double the strength of my immune system.
Beta-glucan.
But I need it to be super safe with no harmful side effects.
Beta-glucan.
Yeah, but I want something all natural with an FDA rating.
Beta-glucan.
What if I want it to be affordable and fast-acting?
Beta-glucan.
What if I need something backed by scientific research?
Beta-glucan.
Like something that's been studied and condoned by Harvard Medical School.
Beta-glucan.
But I want the best best for my immune system that money can buy?
Beta-glucan.
How about a product that's safe for my family, including my pets and children?
Beta-glucan.
Don't you have anything else to say besides beta-glucan?
Yeah, betterwayhealth.com.
What's that?
It's the website where you can buy beta-glucan.
So I can go online right now and buy beta-glucan?
Yup. Go to betterwayhealth.com or call 1-800-746-7640 and ask them about...
Let me guess. Beta-glucan.